Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
In the mid-2000s, there was a wellness trend that was all the rage. It was called the alkaline diet, and it was pioneered by Dr. Robert Young.
Breakfast should start out with a fresh juice.
But he didn't just promise weight loss. He promised a miracle cure.
She was desperate. She wanted to feel better.
Everyone's dying. Why is everyone dying?
From Campside Media, Dorothy Street Pictures, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Dr. Miracle. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Jerry Mwangi for assignment in Kenya. David Nzaro is a slight, wiry man who looks younger than his 69 years and who fears for his life. The person he's afraid of is his son, Chris, who he says is accusing him of witchcraft.
He says that I am a witch and that I bring trouble.
Chris lives with his family just a few meters away from his father's home of sticks and mud in a much bigger house with a veranda and roof. And according to David, his son has threatened him and thrown stones at his home.
We just pass each other without speaking. I live next to my grandchildren, but they are scared to come near me. That's their parents' rules. If they come too close to me, they call them and tell them, come, come back. You're sitting next to that witch. Come away.
Do you fear for your life?
Sure. When one of the coconut there drops on the top of the house, they come out, the husband and the wife. You leave your child, we will kill you.
What okisema wedding child when a man shining?
I asked him what happens here if someone is accused of being a witch.
Sasa watu wakisema wedding, kwa hakika watu wakisema wedding child.
If someone calls you a witch, it makes you vulnerable. You know you can be attacked at any time by anyone. You know your life is in danger.
Nambona watoto haswa.
But why would a child accuse their parent of being a witch?
For what reason?
It means he wants to kill me, so he can inherit the land. This has been happening for nearly 3 years now. Honestly, I am afraid.
The belief in witchcraft is common in many countries in Africa, but it's particularly strong in this part of Kenya, and Kilifi County has become the epicenter of a worrying new trend. Increasingly, this fear of witchcraft is being exploited here to justify the killing of older people. This family is burying their grandfather.
This is the funeral of an elderly man, one of hundreds of elderly people that have been killed here in Kilifi County, cut with a machete in his own home. I've been raised to revere, to honor and respect our elders. I'm here to investigate a story that is impossible to comprehend.
Reports of witches in Kenya resulted in 11 people being burned to death
eight women and three
men. Charred corpses of 11 elderly Kenyan villagers accused of practicing witchcraft. Neighbors described how a mob armed with
I am Jerry Mwangi, a journalist for BBC Africa Eye. And for assignment, I've come to this beautiful region of eastern Kenya with its white beaches and lush forest to investigate why so many elderly people are being accused of witchcraft and attacked. I should add, some of the details in this program are shocking.
Kwa sababu hii shamba ni vyote.
The land is everything. God brings the rain. We plant, we grow maize. It's our food.
A small, fierce woman in her late 60s, Sidi, and her husband have raised 10 children on this piece of land, whipped by the winds of the Indian Ocean.
Kwa sababu, ndio sababu, ina muhimu.
This land is for me and for him, the two of us. It's more important than anything else.
But it's this land that she believes almost cost her husband Tambala his life.
My heart is scarred because of what they did to him. You know, they hacked him. They did things to him that you can't imagine.
3 years ago, 74-year-old Tambala was accused of being a witch and attacked twice and left for dead. Sidi lifts her husband's shirt and points to the scars that crisscross his body.
Here, they cut him here and here, and here on his shoulder. I hurt so much for him. It was only because God was with him, you know. Otherwise, he would not be here at all. You know, when we found him, it was like he'd been slaughtered. There was blood everywhere. They tore his clothes. I had to use my clothes to cover him. Then he got better. And then they hacked him again.
The first time Tambala was attacked, one of his eyes was gouged out. In the second attack, a year later, they cut his genitals. Ever since the attack, his grandson Baraka and his brothers, his father and uncles have been taking turns to stand guard at night to protect Tambala.
We tell him to stay at home and not to leave the house, because we know as soon as he leaves, they'll go after him again. My younger siblings and I, we are all sitting with him and staying with him. He's like a wanted person, and we are the ones standing in the way of him getting hurt again. So our lives are in danger too.
20-year-old Baraka has dropped out of school in order to protect his grandfather.
I love them. They raised me. Since I was a child, they looked after us. Now we've got to look after them.
Inside their small house, there are no coverings on the windows, and the wind whistles through the fragile structure. The floor is mud, and there's a single plastic chair. Tambala is in no doubt why he was attacked.
It can only be the land. There's nothing else. We have nothing else.
But there has been no police investigation.
The police did see him. It was a police car that picked him up after he was attacked. But we don't have the money to go to the police. You have to go to them with money in your pocket. That's the only way to find out what happened.
I ask Sidi if she ever thinks about leaving. She says no.
I met him when I was still so young. We have 10 children together. I'll always be with him, forever. It's me and him until the end of life.
For the moment, Tambala and David are both staying on their land. But that's not been possible for some other elderly residents. I'm heading down a long narrow path off the main road from town to the Mekatilili Cultural Resource and Rescue Center.
The place has no signage, it has no fence, and maybe that's why it doesn't feel like a rescue center, but as you approach these people, you realize that they are mostly elderly people, men and women. More men than there are women, actually. And even as you come closer to them, you see some have wounds either that are healing or scars that have healed. Some need help to get up, to move around. But I think the common thing I noticed is there is a sadness in their eyes.
This rescue center is a place that no society should need. Funded mainly by charitable donations, it's a safe space where elderly people who have been attacked and can no longer live in their own homes can come. Sitting in the shade watching the others working is a man in his 60s. His name is Katana, and he's being fed by a carer because Katana has no hands.
I wasn't born this way, you know. The reason I'm here is because I got slashed with a panga.
A panga is a big curved knife.
They cut off one of my arms. Then they cut the other arm. The way I am now, I can't do anything. I used to be able to do manual work, farming, weaving mats, making things. This is the way I have to live now.
Without your hands, you don't even have balance. You can't sit yourself. You can't stand yourself. You can't feed yourself. You really can't do anything.
Katana says he knows who attacked him, but we are told the main suspect has fled. And a year on, no one's been arrested.
He cut me because of witchcraft. He said that I'd killed his child. But I don't know anything about witchcraft. Honestly. But I do have a piece of land. It's a big piece of land by the sea.
So for Katana too, this is about land.
He has a 6-acre piece of land, and his father's land is beside it, about 5 acres. It's his siblings and his wife and his children, and they all live there. And so he would really, really want to go back home. If he had the will and the power and the means, he would go back home. But he can't go back home because he doesn't know if the people who did this to him will do it again. He doesn't know what the future even remotely looks like. Katana's family has only visited a few times since he arrived at the center. They don't want me, he whispers. But I pray for them that they prosper. We grew up knowing to respect and honor our parents and our grandparents. And we have dreams of getting old, having achieved so much. But that's not the case here. Getting old is risky. It's almost a threat. Yet it's something that you can't stop from happening. And people are being killed for it.
Started as a regional issue, but now it has escalated to national. It's a national disaster which needs to be addressed urgently. If we don't address it, then we are losing the elderly we have. Those are the only live archives you can believe and talk to, so we are losing it.
This is Julius Wanyama. He's a human rights worker whose organization, Haki Yetu, works with elderly people like Katana who've been attacked. Haki Yetu means our right. On average, they believe that more than one elderly person here is being murdered every week.
If someone is accused to be a witch, chances of you surviving are very minimal. They use the word witchcraft as a justification because they will get public sympathy. And people will just assume and say, if he was a witch, it's good that you have killed him. They'll tell you, the reason why your son does not get a job is because the father is bewitching him. If a young girl doesn't give birth, they'll blame that old mama that it's the reason why she's not giving birth. It's just a justification, a basis to get public sympathy, but also to avoid the rule of law, because it's something connected to tradition. So it's just a tactic, a strategy they are using to kill the elders.
He says there's no doubt the killings are being driven by poverty. Tourism here is down. There are few jobs and few prospects for young people.
It's all about land. It's all about inheriting, acquiring land, resources, properties, It's mostly men here in Kilifi simply because, according to the locals here, men are the only people who are allowed to inherit and to keep it. Then, historically, people here in Kilifi don't have documentation. So they don't have documentation. So the only documents they have is the narrative from these elderly people. That is the only thing they can use to defend and say, this land belongs to us. So that is the connection. That's why most of men and elderly are being killed, because once you kill them, then you have removed the obstacle, because there'll be no one to stop you from selling that land.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Der Disney Plus Serientipp.
Hey, hier spricht Meredith Grey, direkt aus dem Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Wir suchen Verstärkung, denn hier kommen viele neue Fälle rein. Unsere Station ist voll mit außergewöhnlichen Patienten, jungen Ärzten in Ausbildung und viel zwischenmenschlichem Drama. Also schau schnell vorbei.
Grey's Anatomy, die neuen Folgen und alle Staffeln nur auf Disney Plus streamen. Abo schon ab 5,99 € pro Monat. Und nun viel Spaß beim Podcast, wünscht Disney Plus.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.
I'm Jerry Mwangi for Assignment in Kenya. I've been handed the contact details for a man who says he was hired as a hitman in the past. He agrees to talk to me as long as we don't reveal his identity. So we meet on a remote piece of scrub land. I want to know what kind of person could kill an elderly person for money.
Na umegonga watu wangapi?
Kama 20.
He admits he has killed at least 20 people, including his own uncle.
Who organizes for the killings ya wazee?
Ni familia wenyewe. Ukiona saa zingine mtu.
It was always the family that ordered the murder. But how does he live with himself? What gives him the right to give these people a death sentence?
Kama mjomba wangu.
Kama mjomba wako. How did that make you feel?
I have done something bad, he says. But the person who sent me is more guilty. But he did kill them.
Kweli, mambo ya kawaida.
He claims he stopped. I push him.
Familia yako inajua uliwafanya.
Does his family know what he did?
Hakuna mwenye anajua hata mmoja.
He says no.
Ni kama vile waweza kuwa wewe ni mgonjwa.
It's like having a disease.
Pia wengine wameathirika.
It's your secret.
Na wewe mwenyewe unajua siri yako.
A part of me is really angry that he has murdered so many people and nobody will talk about it, and that he's gotten away with it.
and he can choose to live another life as if the lives he ended, the lives he affected don't matter. Time and again, I've been told no one's been held accountable. Julius, the human rights activist, believes that's why it keeps happening.
Very few people have been charged on these allegations of killings of the elderly. Very few people. And that's why I think even the people who are involved in killing, they feel they are so free.
He tells me about an incident a few months ago when he went with police to the scene of an elderly killing.
I went with one of the police officers to the ground to collect a body, and he told me, Julius, no, let them kill each other. My work here is to pick the bodies. If they have decided they want to kill their parents, let them kill each other. Once they are done, the land will be free. Some of us can even come and buy. Let them kill. I'm just here to work, you know. And some officers are like born-again Christians. The first thing they go to these families, instead of doing what they know best, they start preaching to them. You know, you have to accept Jesus as your savior. You cannot do this. You know, so that clearly tells you that most of these officers do not have the capacity. They don't know what they're dealing with. Unless you understand the dynamics of these locals, the traditions. But the police are the weakest link in the whole this process. Some of them can't even tell you how many people have been killed. They can't.
When we met Katana at the center, I remember being struck by how much he longed to see his village again. He's only been back once since the attack, and he's afraid. He'll only go if Julius goes with him as protection.
We are going to a village. It's a village where he has his families, he has his properties, land. And this gives him an opportunity also to see the family, the wife and the children, and to know that the people are there also to support him and to help him to get justice.
As Julius helps Katana from the car, you can see the fear in his face. When his youngest son sees him, the boy begins to weep uncontrollably.
Ole, Baba. Ole. Ole.
Kujo kaina, Baba.
Katana also breaks down. It's heartbreaking. Julius gestures to the boy to sit by his father. But the boy shakes his head. Katana wipes away his tears with the stump of his arm. Then Katana's wife arrives. The atmosphere changes. She sits apart, her face stony. She's one of those questioned by police, but released without charge. I take her to the side. She tells me she has no money and can barely eat. That's why she's hardly visited Katana at the center. She says if anyone thinks she may have been involved, they're wrong. Why would I do that? She says. I loved him. I would have just gone back to my village. As we get ready to take Katana back to the center, I'm told that the very fact he survived means that many people here believe he must be a witch. I fear Katana will never be able to go home. It's because of this fear that they'll be next that elderly people in Kilifi are taking matters into their own hands. Here at a local cultural center in Malindi town, people are coming to get their hair dyed.
It's interesting to see elderly people dyeing their hair. Usually people will do it for vanity, for beauty. But I think what's different here is that it's an issue of life and death.
Tuko wazee.
When young people see their grandmother's gray hair, this woman tells me, they call her a witch and execute her. So we buy this dye to avoid being killed. in David's village, I ask him why he stays in his home when he believes his life is also in danger. He leads me a short way away, past the coconut and cashew nut trees, to a clearing. He pulls back branches to reveal a grave, and then another, and another.
This is my sister.
And
over there is my father. And back there is my mother.
David says if he leaves, he's afraid his son and his wife will sell the land, and with it, the graves.
I live here beside these graves. I can't run away. I can't leave them. I will stay here until the last breath in my body.
David has gone to the police and talked to the elders of the community about his fears. The police did detain his son, Chris, but the family said they wanted to resolve it themselves. They've tried to arrange an elders meeting with Chris and his father, but Chris hasn't gone. He has, however, agreed to see me.
So, thank you for taking the time, Najwa, to call now, wakati mdogo, so we don't take much of your time.
I put to him his father's allegations. He denies it all. He's never called his father a witch, he says. None of it is true. Chris says he couldn't go to the elders' meeting because he was busy at work and there's nothing to resolve.
Speaking to Chris, he downplayed everything. He denied the allegations. He even said that he has an okay relationship with his father. He has denied that he has threatened his father. And he says that if his father has problems, he should come and tell him, and he will not let anybody hurt his father.
But David still feels unsafe. He's afraid to sleep in his own home and now spends most nights at his uncle's house. At dinner one evening, however, his uncle reveals his own disturbing news. He's also been accused of witchcraft. He hands David a letter and asks him to read it.
You're invited to the grave of hell. Your debts are coming on an unknown date in the next few days. We will have no choice but to execute the instructions we were given by your village.
Nine people are named in the letter, and one is David's uncle.
All these people listed here, there are so many of them. How can all of them be witches?
David's uncle tells him he's not worried. God will be his bodyguard. But his face tells a different story.
You've been listening to Assignment from the BBC World Service. The presenter was Jerry Mwangi. The producers were Nicola Milne and me, Louise Hidalgo. We asked the Kenyan police for their comment on the issues raised in the programme. They didn't respond.
Foul, Schwalbe, rote Karte, Videobeweis, Fußballdiskussionen, da hilft die Big Mac-Methode. Ja, die Big Mac-Methode. Schlichtet schnell, einfach und effektiv jede Debatte, denn nur beim Big Mac sind sich alle einig. Probieren Sie die Big Mac-Methode. Nur bei McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app that makes using different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate. There are no hidden fees either. See exactly what you'll pay up front, every time. Join 16 million customers already saving with Wise. To learn how Wise could work for you, download the app or visit wise.com.